Hi, one and all. This is Pastor Steve. This is the sermon for April 19th, the second Sunday after Easter. And then later on this week, I'll get out the one for this week, and we'll go from there. Our reading begins with Acts 5, verses 29 to 42. But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witness to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." Now, what is going on right now, before I finish this reading, is that the apostles were arrested and taken to the Sanhedrin, and they were being tried. And here's how the Sanhedrin responded to this. When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in honor by all the people, stood up and gave orders to put the men outside for a little while. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take care what you are about to do with these men. For before these days, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. He was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the census and drew away some of the people after him. He too perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this undertaking is of men, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God." So they took his advice, and when they had called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple, from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that Jesus, the Christ, is Jesus. Now that ends our first lesson. Our second reading is Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. And he established them forever and ever. He gave a decree, and it shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy wind fulfilling his word. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beasts and all livestock, creeping things and all flying birds. Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and rulers of the earth, young men and maidens together, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His majesty is above earth and heaven. He has raised up a horn for his people, praise for all his saints, for the people of Israel who are near to him, praise the Lord. Now this ends our psalm. Our epistle reading is from the letter of 1 Peter, the first chapter, verses 3 to 9. Born again to a living hope. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. according to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, that perishes it through it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not now see Him, you believe in Him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Now that ends our epistle reading. Our gospel reading is from the book of John, chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. Jesus appears to the disciples on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. And if you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Now the story of Jesus and Thomas. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now the purpose of this book. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. This ends our gospel reading. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. I'm going to talk about a varied message today because our readings support this approach. I'm going to look at the resurrection and getting born again and the story of doubting Thomas. Now, in our churches, the celebration of Easter isn't just one day, but it's a 7-week, 7-Sunday celebration of our risen Lord. And remember, 7 in the Bible is the number of perfection. When I served my congregation in Alabama, which is a strong Southern Baptist part of the country, I was asked on numerous times about the day and time I was born again. Now, in our brother's understanding of Scripture, one must declare himself or herself to the Lord, which is where the question about when has a value. What day did this happen? Whenever I was asked this question, my answer was this. I was born again when my Savior died on the cross for me, and when he was resurrected from the dead, I was born again with him. Funny thing is, I've even had parishioners who did not think one was born again unless you stood up before a congregation and declared you have been born again. My friends, you've all heard me talk about arrows going between us and God. And in our understanding of Scripture, the arrows go from God to us and not from us to God. So why is this important? If we have to experience a personal reason why we can become children of our Heavenly Father and become born again, then those arrows go from us to God, not God to us. What does the Apostle Peter tell us in our reading from 1 Peter today? Now, here's the scripture again. Now, listen to this carefully. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. So he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Do you see why we believe that being born again is not up to us, but is a blessing we receive from God? Now, according to this grace mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope. And that living hope is through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So, again, according to his great mercy, means our salvation is purely from God, not from our decision, but from his gift to us. He's the one that made the decision, and he's the one who has already accepted us. My friends, this is a belief that the Bible tells us, not one that Jesus himself told us in person. So what does this require? Well, a belief in things unseen that we are promised in the scriptures and is talked about in our reading from Peter's letter. Now, this is what he tells us. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is nothing new for us who are Christians. A belief in things we have never seen, but we hold as true by our gift of faith from God himself. I don't know, it sounds like a pretty good gift to me, doesn't it? But this concept of a belief in things unseen leads us to the story of Thomas Didymus. Now, the King James Bible, it uses the Didymus, which is Greek, means twin. Excuse me. But it's what he is. He's a twin. Now, Jesus appeared to the apostles, as related by John, and had to tell them more than once to be in peace. Why? Well, how would you feel if a dead man, someone whom you saw placed into a tomb after his death, appeared to 11 men and greeted them, I don't think any of us would not react in an exciting, unbelieving manner, would we? Well, this is exactly what happened to the apostles. They believed because Jesus talked with them after he appeared to them. However, this wasn't the case with Thomas, was it? He was just a little skeptical, wasn't he? Unless I see in his hand the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. Well, that's okay, Thomas. Don't hold back. How do you really feel? One of the things that we usually miss is that Jesus let Thomas stew in this belief for an entire week. Remember, it tells us that it's the eighth day before he appeared to them again. Now, couldn't you hear the arguments going on between Thomas and the rest of the apostles that week? So when Jesus appears to him, what does he do? He repeats Thomas's words back to him, even though Jesus was not physically present when Thomas made his statements, was he? What all of this boils down to is the appearance of our resurrected Savior after his death and resurrection, Jesus the Christ. Now, Jesus is the name of the human child who was born to Mary and Joseph, had a 3-year ministry and was crucified, died, and was buried, who on the third day rose again from the dead and ascended into heaven, sitting at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. My friends, isn't this the reason that we say this statement in the Apostles' Creed? A creed that has been with us since the end of the first century, whose text was written and developed by the Apostles themselves. When the Apostles speak, I do think it is important for us to listen to them, especially when it's about a belief in things unseen. Again, John states the reason for his book. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. You know, it's the second time I've read this to you today, because it's important. We love you, Lord Jesus, and you are crowned with many crowns, especially the crown of the resurrected Son of God. My friends, may this crown of salvation help keep your hearts and minds on Christ Jesus. Hallelujah and amen. Have a wonderful week, my friends. Bye-bye.